things into your body and it takes the bad things out of your body. Now that's a wonderful illustration of the blood of Jesus. It can put good things into you and take the bad things away from you. Now, I'm a blood biker, so nobody better than me to talk about this tonight, because what I do on my motorbike for the health service is to pick blood up from patients in the hospital and take the blood to the laboratory so that the laboratory can examine the blood and find out what's wrong with the patient. Really important. My daughter very recently had to go for a blood test. And she told me that she was off to the hospital for the blood test. And I thought, oh, really? Very good. She says, you know, Dad, they'll take my blood and the answer is in the blood. She didn't know what she was saying other than they were going to take the blood from her and they'd find out the answer. And for us, the answer is in the blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's the answer for us, every one of us. So she went for the blood test. And they found out what was right with her and they found out what was wrong with her. And they treated her for whatever it was. Nothing much, but thank the Lord. The answer was in the blood. Amen. Now my other daughter, Rebecca, that was Rachel that went for the blood test. My other daughter, if she sees blood, she faints. She can't stand the sight of blood, but she keels over. But never mind. Rachel went for a blood test. And Rebecca faints. Right. I'd like just to quickly read Exodus chapter 12. If you want to turn to that, I'm just going to take a selection of verses. First of all, verse 7, and then verse 12 and 13. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. Eat it in some Bibles, but where they shall eat. But just to stop there, they had killed a lamb and they had to eat the lamb. They had to roast the lamb and eat the lamb. But the word in chapter 7 is they should strike with a hyssop the lintel and the two sides, which they did. These are the children of Israel awaiting to get out of Egypt. And then verse 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. Amen. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you when you're in the land of Egypt. Thank God. Now then, Terry, do you remember the account of the Israelites in Egypt? They'd been there some 400 or so years since Joseph went, those many, many years before, and they'd forgotten all about the good things that Joseph had done in those first early days, and now they were slaves. And Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. God said, let my people go, and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And all those plagues, they had lice, they had flies, they had frogs, they had locusts, they had blood, the water turned to blood, they had darkness, they had all sorts of plagues. Don't get on the wrong side of God. Just remember, all these things that God sent, they were terrible, and the Egyptians suffered to the point where all their firstborn children and their beasts, but all their firstborn children were killed. Yeah. How terrible. We have a terrible God in the greatest sense, in that he's not going to stand any messing, I tell you. You know, and Pharaoh finally said, "Go, go." Didn't say go for very long, because he still chased after them, even when all those people had been killed. But the children of Israel went. And what happened on that night with regard to the children was that the angel of the Lord came and they were killed. But the angel of the Lord saw on some of the houses the blood on the lintel and the blood on the doorposts. And I will pass over you. And so for us, in terms of our lives, when we have the blood, we are under the protection of God. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? That God is on our side. That powerful God that could do all those plagues and all those difficulties for all those people. Yes, he's on our side. He's on our side. That's great, isn't it? The fact that he's on our side. So let's go back to some first principles. First of all, God is holy, absolutely holy, and he cannot look on sin. He's pure, he's just, he's holy, he's a great God, and he wants us to be holy and to be like Jesus. Now, I read today in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, "This is my beloved son," when Peter was repeating it. I want God to say that to me. And you want, I'm sure, for God to say to you, "And in whom he is well pleased." Fantastic. God cannot look on sin. We need to be holy like Jesus. We need to walk like Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and do God's will. So that's my first point, that God is an absolute holy being who cannot look on sin. Now, he created man, he created Adam and Eve. And it must have been a wonderful time for Adam and Eve, because they walked with God in the garden. They walked with God, communed with him every day. Good for God too. He enjoyed that. He'd made these people. And oh, the joy for God as well as the joy for Adam and Eve. But God had said to them, "Don't eat of that tree. Whatever you do, don't eat of that tree. Do anything else. We can chat about it. We can have a wonderful time of communion together. But don't eat of that tree." What happened? Tell me, David, what happened? They ate the tree. Of the tree. They took the apple. The serpent came. The devil came in the form of a serpent. Tempted Eve. And Eve took the apple to Adam, and Adam ate the apple too. Instead of saying no, instead of Eve saying no, they sinned. And what happened? God couldn't walk with them any longer in the garden, because they were now sinful. God had to separate himself from them, because he is holy, he is pure, and he is just. It was the just and right thing to do. And their being, Adam and Eve's being, changed. They changed now into beings that would die. Whereas before, they weren't in that state. Now, they would die. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. We know the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve, they were cast out because of sin. And that's why we now, as the human race, are sinners, born in sin. We need a route out. We need a route out, a roadway out. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." But first of all, the first thing is, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And God doesn't want any man to die. No. Certainly doesn't want any man to die in sin. No. But Jesus hadn't come, if you think about it, at that time. It was the old covenant. The old covenant. Mm-hmm. not the new covenant. We were not there yet. So God set up a process, the old covenant. And there are three things basically that I see in the old covenant. And the first part was that they should love God. If you go through the Pentateuch, you will see many times, the first books, five books of the Bible, you will see that the responsibility of the people was to love God. The second thing that they had to do was keep the law. When we get to the new covenant, we sing, we're not under law, we're under grace. But at that time, they were under law. Ten Commandments, for example, they had to keep them. And the third thing that they had to do, they had to seek forgiveness of their sins through sacrifices. Right? There had to be a death of something. There had to be blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. And under the old covenant, they were to sacrifice a bull or a lamb, but something that was usually the firstborn and pure, for them to have their sins forgiven. So love God, keep the law, and give sacrifices to the Lord for their sins to be forgiven. Now, what happened? They had to have sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. They had to keep coming back because we are sinful. Yeah. They were sinful. One sacrifice wasn't enough. No. They had to keep coming back with another lamb, another bull, bullock, whatever. Whatever sacrifice that they made, they had to come back time and time and time again. And if you read the Old Testament, you'll see that there were wars and all sorts of different things happening all the time, and the children of Israel were not always in favour. They were always doing things wrong, and then they had to have another sacrifice, and round and round and round it went. And what was the result of all that? Well, I think God had a rethink. He said, this is no good. These people, they're sinful people. We need one sacrifice. Amen. We need one shedding of blood to deal with the sins of man. And how can I, God said, how can I deal with that? Whose blood is good enough? Who is great enough to actually undertake that sacrifice? And of course we know Jesus, the Son of God. He came, he humbled himself to be a man. You know, if you think about it, Jesus was in heaven before he came to earth as a man. And I don't know, what our image of God is, but Jesus was part of that. He wasn't a man before. He actually humbled himself. Yes, he took on the form of a man like you and I. A human being. He was still God, but he was also a man. And so we get to the point in my little address this evening that this rethink, this change of the way that the sacrifice for sin was to be made, resulted in a new covenant, a new promise in the blood of Jesus Christ, where his blood was shed, and shed once and for all. And that means it was for you, Terry. It means it was for me. It was for you, Daniel. His blood was shed for you, David. For all of us. Absolutely fantastic just to think about this. We're thinking about it. It was God. This was Jesus. It was God. And he died. God died on the cross for you and for me. How fantastic is that? How it's almost unbelievable. We believe it. It's the tenets of our faith. But it was God who came and he he gave up his life. And what happened? He was separated from his father. The two of them were separated. And that's the first time it's really struck me in terms of thinking about this, in that Jesus died and he gave everything for us in that sense. But what God did as well, he separated himself from his son. So it wasn't just the sacrifice of Jesus, it was also the pain that God suffered, God the Father being separated from his son. But that blood once shed for you, like in the old covenant, but this time a spotless, sinless, perfect man, that sin, that blood was enough to deal with the sin of the whole world. Of the whole world. Fantastic. Not just for some of the world, not for just the Jews, but for all the world, whosoever. And when Jesus was on the cross, he cried, "It's finished. It is finished." The work that he had come to do was finished, completed. And he died, separate from his father. What terrible pain. He lost all his blood, but he also broke his heart in terms of being separate from the Father. And there he was, put in the grave, dead. 3 days later, here we have the victory. 3 days later, he rose in victory. So we need to take on that blood. We need to be under the blood. We need to be under his protection, so that we inherit that salvation for eternity. Now, just stop and think about eternity. Eternity is a long, long time. In fact, it isn't time. It just goes on and on and on and on. And we, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, believing in him, will be with Jesus in glory forever, with God the Father, with Jesus in that wonderful place. Amen. I'd just like to draw your attention to a few scriptures that relate to the blood of Jesus. And I don't want you to look them up, because I've got too many. But you might want to just write down the verse, the reference, and pick it up later, yeah. Because this was the supreme sacrifice of God. Absolutely the supreme sacrifice of God. So the first one is Ephesians 1 verse 7. And this is how we obtain redemption, how we are saved through the blood of Jesus. Because it says in verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood." So the first thing that we get from the blood of Jesus is redemption. Redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, David. I just bear while you get your pen. Well done. Ephesians 1 verse 7. And the reference is redemption, meaning we're saved. Yeah. The second one is Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And this tells us we are overcomers, that we win. Yeah. And the enemy is defeated through the blood of Jesus. And the actual verse says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Sinless, spotless one. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So we have redemption and we overcome. The third one is 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. And this tells us we are ransomed. We are bought with a price. What a price! Amen. The blood of God, the blood of Jesus, bought
your soul, Terry, your soul, David, my soul, through the blood of Jesus. And it says in the verse, God paid the ransom through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Amen. And the fourth one that I have, I've got nine. I won't be very long, but I've got nine of these. And there are dozens more now, no doubt. 1 John 1, verse 7. We are cleansed. We are made spotless through the blood. And the verse actually says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Yeah, fantastic. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Hebrews 9, verse 22. We are forgiven. Our sins are forgotten. Thank God through His blood. And the actual verse says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But we are forgiven. Forgiven. And then the same chapter, Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. We are justified through the blood of Jesus, proven to be correct in our beliefs. Under the old covenant, bulls and goats were sacrificed. How much more will the blood of Christ purify? The perfect sacrifice. In the Old Testament, under the old covenant, they shed the blood of animals for their forgiveness. How much more should the blood of God, would the blood of God justify us, forgive us, than the animals that they used in the past? Hebrews 13, verse 12, we are sanctified, declared holy, that is, through the blood of Jesus. We can be sanctified, we can be holy because of the blood of Jesus. The actual verse said, Jesus suffered to sanctify us through His blood. And back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, what we referred to earlier was that we find the way, the route to God through the blood of Jesus. So we are brought near to God through the blood of Christ, is what the verse says. And the last one from me is Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20, whereby we obtain peace and harmony through the blood of Jesus. He made peace through the blood of the cross. So, just to recap those few points: redemption, overcomers, ransomed, cleansed, forgiven, justified, sanctified, a route to God, the way, and peace. And all those things are ours. They're yours, Grace. They're yours, Andrew. They're ours. Why? Because Jesus came and died for us. Yeah. Can you believe it? Yes, we believe it. I mean that in terms of an expression. How marvellous, how fantastic, how dreadful as well, that God should have to come and die. The only way that the whole of the world, should they choose, could receive the redemption and eternal life through Jesus. Amen. So, I've had more than the 10 minutes. No. There's power in that blood. Amen. All those things that we seek for are what Jesus has done for us. His blood was shed for us. For you, David, I knew you on that cross. He knew me. Joan, he knew on that cross about what happened in your life, what happened in mine. And you know what? All those things, that the power of that blood, they avail forever. Yes. Until the Lord comes again, they avail for you now. It's just as powerful now as it was then. Yes. Same yesterday, that's it, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, God isn't in that time frame. God is I am. And that is always the same. The same in our terms, yesterday, today, and forever. And I read in the Old Testament the other day that it says, tell them I am. And then it went on to say other things. So what have we got? We've got something to be glad about. We've got something to rejoice about. We know the price has been paid. We know that we have been ransomed. And we know that we are free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's the whole essence of what we believe. We're not a religion with all, I don't know, processes and things about blood. We are a faith with the blood of God that has washed us clean and taken away our sins.